Is that a?
Yeah, no, he's got to leave.
Was that a?
Yeah, he's got to go.
Did you just do a Donald Trump impression?
I think so. That's what that was. Yeah.
You want to water that down with some
I can't get it down. The ones who get it down, though, you didn't fully commit with your hands
like you tried to, but you didn't fully commit.
Yeah, you know, hey, go take a lap.
Yeah, hey.
You don't want to be too into it because then it's like, well, why do you know how to do that?
Well, that's it. You see what I'm saying? You see what I'm saying? I'm just giving like, that the outer workings of it. I can't give you that.
You gotta go home, and then you know, wife gonna be like, so this is what you do when I'm busy. You study this guy. Is it what you do?
That's why I can't. I just got to give you the outer workings. I can't. Yeah. I can't dive into it. That's almost like in too deep, right? Like you get too deep into the operation, and hey, I don't want to be there.
What was his name in In Too Deep?
Jay Reed. You ain't no cop, Jay Reed.
Yeah, you ain't no cop, Jay Reed. That's the line I was thinking of. By the way, they told Kenny and I yesterday we're going to interview LL Cool J. I think me and Kenny were like, okay. All right, pal. Jason, who do you do an impression of?
I really don't have any impressions. That was more a thing when I was a kid.
Mm. As a kid, who would you do?
I had a really good Macho Man Randy Savage.
Mm. Oh, okay.
Which would get me kicked out of class.
Well,
Because I would just start doing it like in the middle of like, you know, the math lesson. And I'd start answering questions like I was the Macho Man. Just like, Jason, get out.
Sometimes it equals two, but not always. Uh-huh.
Yeah, I would do Paul Bearer during class.
Okay, come on, man. You can't say that you do these impressions and not do them.
I said as a kid, I don't think my voice.
Give me. Come on, give me the Paul Bearer. Come on, man.
Give me
the Paul Bearer. Give me the Paul Bearer. Come on.
I can't.
Oh,
I don't think I have Paul Bearer left in me.
Jason will never be on the internet.
Mm.
Jason, he's just pretty smart guy.
Well, when the Undertaker streak ended.
Well, that's a good point. Man, they got him.
My man won't
say that it was him. He'll be like, no, that wasn't me. Whenever someone starts going, was that you? He's like, no, that wasn't me. That was the sports writer dude.
You know what the low-key best part is? One, I have got to find Jason that white Yes shirt that he had on just so Jason has it. Two, if you watch that WrestleMania, I think the dopest part, I think he changes shirts.
What?
Somewhere during the show, like as the show progresses, I think he winds up having a different shirt on. Maybe he started with and he didn't have the Yes shirt on. He had something else, but we were getting closer to the main event and he threw it on.
Yeah.
But like you'll see him at a different point in the show and he has a different shirt on.
That is a commitment.
Yeah. That is a wrestling fan's A-plus level of commitment.
Yeah, can I remind everyone, I remember that day because the Kings had a game that day. And then my phone started blowing up about, we didn't know you went to WrestleMania. And I'm like, what are you talking about? One moment, like, you're a liar. We just saw you on TV. And I'm like, I'm not at WrestleMania. Why would I lie about that?
So I don't know that we've ever talked about this. And I think it's on your Twitter page still. What pay-per-view were you watching? And who was the reporter that took a picture of you and Triple H wound up responding to your WWE Network tweet?
Yeah, I got to repin that one. But I forgot what it was during the finals with the Warriors and the Cavs, and the Warriors are just destroying them.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to say the match was Austin Aries against Neville. I forget.
Oh my god!
I know Austin Aries was in the match.
That's terrible.
And the game was just so bad. And I was like, oh, log on to the network. And then I didn't realize the dude took a – I don't know who – he looked like a student or something. He was like
that was
a young
crazy.
Guy.
Okay.
And I had no idea until like later on Twitter. I'm like, hold up. Hey, that's me. And and then like the wrestling world attacked this person on Twitter.
Kid dropped out of journalism school.
It made it so bad was that I had no idea who this kid was, but the wrestling world attacked him.
And then and
like Triple H, and I think Matt Hardy and someone else, you know.
That's right.
They were like, that was funny. That was hilarious because the dude like sent me a DM like, I'm so sorry. Like, can I buy you? I'm like, buy you lunch. I'm like, it's okay, man. It's no big deal.
I think like,
Triple H out of it. I'll live.
I think Triple H quote tweeted it like, that's the beauty of the WWE network. You can watch it no matter where you're at or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah. I said, don't worry. I got way more mileage out of that than, you know, I was like, hey, y'all don't have to harass him anymore. I'm okay. Because somebody called him like a creep. Like, what are you doing? Like, you just sit around and look at people's laptops. I think he had said I deserve to have my credential revoked.
I remember him saying something like that.
And I'm like, dude, you wish you could be in the business as long as me. Why don't you go somewhere?
That was
really creepy. I was like, that's like the second weirdest thing that's happened to me in this business in terms of like weird pictures. The other one was I'm at Sacramento Airport. We're on our way to Summer League. And the Kings like signed Vince Carter. So I'm on my laptop before I board my Southwest flight with the rest of the Kings Summer League team, mm-hmm. which was a story and the stuff they had the Kings in the Summer League on the flight. And
didn't even compute. Like, what?
Yeah, they were all flying Southwest. I remember because Sim Bular was on that team, I believe. It might have been someone else. They signed or whatever. But I'm sitting there typing, and some dude like takes a picture of me from across the thing, and he like posted. Like, he's like, I saw you at the airport. I was like, next time, just say hi. Like, don't take a weird, because it was like a weird, I've got shorts on and I'm sitting down typing. I'm like, dude, that's a weird angle to take a picture of me.
That's crazy.
Like, all you got is like my laptop, my legs, and it was just weird. I'm like, just say hi next time.
That's crazy. Yeah.
I was like, I mean, I wasn't mad at it. I just thought, I was like, dude, you could have said hi. I didn't need I'm like, I'm not famous. I don't need weird pictures of me like that. No one cares about me like that. No one wants to see my legs as I get ready to board the flight. Like, this is uncalled for. And I was like, I said, I don't know what to make of this, but yeah, next time just say hi.
Saw Jason Jones's legs at the airport today.
I think he's writing about the signing. And then I get on then another time I'm on the plane, and back then I would update the Sacramento Bee blog with the Wi-Fi or whatever, and I would play this game. People say, I know you. I'm like, no, you don't. No, I know who you are. I'm like, you don't know who I am. And then me being a dummy, I'm updating the blog, and my face is right there. She goes, yes, you're him. I'm like, yeah, that's me. And I would try to do that because I didn't want to spend like an hour, two-hour flight discussing the Kings all the time. I just went to sleep.
Yeah.
And once a fan, especially like flying to Sacramento, once they picked up who I was, I said, there goes my sleep and my me time. We're going to discuss Jimmer Fredette for the next hour. We're going to discuss why didn't they draft this guy or that guy. And I was like, okay, yeah. I mean, it was more so, I never really had an issue. It was just weird. And I was like, you realize you guys don't have to care this much. Like, fandom is a choice, and you don't have to do this to yourself.
Mm. Yeah.
I thought about that last night when I saw what happened in that Indiana game. I was like, yeah, this ain't it for y'all this year.
We're stuck, though. We're stuck. Like, what are we going to do? Where am I going to go?
Refuses to... AD came back to save the day to get them to, like, 9. That was the craziest the day thing to report that the Mavs were like, no, AD, please don't come back. You might help us.
Yeah. And now I was just looking at the Mavericks schedule after that loss. Man, I'm not saying they can win. They just beat Chicago the other day. But that was like the one they like, okay, yeah. We got that, yeah. And now we got a tough split. Yeah. You lost it. Now you got Atlanta. Yeah, you got two tough. Against the Clippers. The Lakers, Toronto, you probably should get that one. And then at Memphis might be for them to try to get in the play-in or stay out of the play-in or whatever. So
Memphis might be trying to get out of the play-in.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Memphis might be – they may need that game at that point. So
Memphis might be like, you know what? We're done with this.
What'd you think about
– our front office brought in a whole new coaching staff with our head coach to run an offense. Our best player doesn't want to run. It's never a good sign when they say, oh, yeah, the staff was hired by the front office. I mean, Taylor could have resigned that day because it's over. I mean, I've heard of one, maybe two assistants being added. They give you your entire staff. I mean, yeah, you're just waiting to get fired.
Talking about the Taylor Jenkins situation, in that case, what would you do in that situation? If you knew, like, the team, or at least the reports where the team was kind of done with Taylor Jenkins, they weren't responding, they hadn't been playing well for, you know, probably a month and a half, do you just say, hey, this probably isn't the team to in the situation to do well in the postseason, we'll reevaluate in the offseason? Or do you think, hey, we got talent here, like, let's make this move and see if we can make a run in the playoffs. Like, how would you have handled that?
Have they won since they fired him?
No, I think they're 0-2.
They've lost, yeah, and they've lost three straight, counting the one.
Yeah, I don't think that move was going to galvanize them. Hmm. If what you read is halfway correct, the big issue, it was weird. Like, you brought in an assistant to put in this offense, and then you fired the assistant you brought in to put in that offense. It doesn't make any sense what's going on at all. Yeah, Taylor might have been disconnected, but it appears to be multiple disconnections. I mean, if Ja's like, I want to run pick and roll, and they're like, no, you're going to run this motion offense. I mean, they don't even have players like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, no, you would think, you know, their best bet would have the ball. First, Ja's got to play. He can't be hurt all the time. I mean, that's another thing. I mean, it wasn't working out, but – whatever reason, but yeah, it doesn't help when your best player, you know, he broke out like 3 years ago, and since then he's had the suspension, the injury.
Yeah.
So I mean, it's not. I mean, I've never been a big blame the coach guy, except in certain situations, you know. But hey,
can you remember a situation where a coach, like especially on a playoff team, gets fired with like 10 games left in the season?
Never. I've never seen anything like that. Ever.
Yeah, that is it's such a weird situation. And of course, now they've lost two more. And for those who haven't been paying attention, been focusing on Sacramento staying out of the, you know, staying in the play-in, they're a bad night or two away. And you said it's Memphis and Golden State is tonight.
Yeah,
they could. They're now in the conversation with the Warriors, Timberwolves, and Clippers. Absolutely. for a solidified sixth spot versus play-in spot.
Yeah. Mm. Which is crazy because, you know, a month and a half ago, they were like two.
Yeah, I don't even know if it was that long ago. I mean, I feel like at different points, Houston's been two. L.A. was two for like a heartbeat. Memphis was two. And now it's just I feel like it's going to wind up being Houston's spot.
I think so, too. I think they'll, because the rest of their schedule is pretty easy. They should be able to rack up.
Which means if you're Denver or L.A., you want to try to stay at three to not have to play Oklahoma City in the second round. But then again, I'm kind of the opinion that even at the number one seed, Oklahoma City isn't so scary of a number one to where you're like, oh, my God, I can't face them under any circumstance.
Why do you think that is? Because I think a lot of us feel that way. Like, but why do you think that – I don't want to say it's the consensus, but a lot of people feel that way about OKC. They're having a great season. They're dominant. They're doing it for the second straight year. But it doesn't feel like people are all the way believing what they're able to do on a championship level.
I think part of it is the whole how last year ended. Remember, they were the best team in the West last year. They get bounced in the second round. Mm. I just think there's a big, you know, we'll see it and we believe it with them. Maybe people don't think Shea is as good as he is. Some people wonder if trying to get to the foul line 20 times in the playoffs is going to work for him. Mm-hmm. If the game gets a little more physical, you know, what if his free throws go from like, you know, 12 a game to like 8, you know, I mean, there's legit questions I think about them. But when I hear everyone saying you got to, I'm like, this is not like the 2017 Warriors where, you know, it's all bad if you run into them. I think there's, you know, I think that, you know, they can be beat. I mean, would I pick them to, it's going to come down to matchups, because now you think about it, if you're 3, you could end up with the Clippers. Would you know, assuming Kawhi is healthy and the way, you know, James Harden has played, you know, that wouldn't be an easy, they're really, you know, you, there's not going to be an easy way around it.
Yeah.
You know, I think matchup wise, if you're, you know, Denver or LA, you'd rather play the Warriors because the Warriors don't have the size. You know, but I think the Warriors struggle with, like, I mean, with the Lakers and the Clippers, right?
Yeah. Yep.
So, I mean, it's going to be like always matchups. I wouldn't be necessarily afraid of Houston because they're not a good shooting team. Like you saw last night, all it takes is a second for Dylan Brooks. He should be shooting all the time. Mm-hmm. When he started doing that in the fourth, I said, okay, Lakers got this one. once Dylan decided it was time to score, then Reggie was like, hey, no disrespect, that's not his role, a fadeaway jumper. I'm like, that was first off very disrespectful, but it was also very true. Like, that's not your role, Dylan.
in defense of Oklahoma City, a little bit. They were the top seed in the Western Conference last year, but that was like by a game.
True.
With like two other teams.
That was like the three teams going into the last day or
so
two.
So what happened was, if you remember, and I think I do, Denver lost to San Antonio the second to last day of the season.
Wemby went
Denver,
crazy.
Yeah, Denver was, it was them. They were done. But they lost to San Antonio, and that opened everything up that final day for Oklahoma City to be the.
Minnesota was there too.
Yeah. And that's how they wound up the top seed. They were the top seed. They were a 60-win team, I think.
57 range, if I feel.
That's right, because only Boston was a 60-win team last year. I think Boston won 64. Oklahoma City this year is at 63. So the difference, Jay, being last year, they're the number one seed by a bad Denver loss at the end of the season. They're the number one seed by 14 and a half games now.
57 wins last year. In Denver, they tied. It was a tiebreaker situation.
Okay.
Is what got them the one seed.
So you're still the one seed. You're still a 57-win team. But this year, to Jason's point, though, this year, though, this feels different. Mm-hmm. This is a 63 wins and counting basketball team with a 14-and-a-half game lead on number two.
Mm. Yeah.
I think,
like I said, and I think what makes their lead even different. I mean, they've had a couple. You know, Holmgren missed time, so they haven't. You know, they haven't been spotless. But I think if you're one of those teams below, I say outside of Houston, you know, I say if you're Denver, you're saying to yourself, well, we didn't have Aaron Gordon for X amount of games. Maybe if we're, you know, we're healthy, we're closer. Mm. You know. If you're the Lakers, you're like, this is the third version of our team. Mm. You know, this version of our team is not the team you would have seen in November. You know, if you're the Warriors, you believe we got a shot because we didn't have Jimmy Butler for 50-something games. Yeah. So, I mean, you know, and then even with like a team like Minnesota, I can't think of – if they haven't been healthy all year. And, I mean, if they're right, does anybody really want to play them? The only question becomes is how does Gobert's, you know, what is Gobert's playoff moment again? Because he has one every year. It's usually not good.
They're
not,
never good.
Not playing is going to be his playoff moment. That's what's going to happen.
Getting drenched.
It wasn't last year's Luka like laughing when they switched him on him, like, oh, you're just, so what are we doing? Poor Rudy.
Well, poor Rudy. Rudy's had a few tweets to where we don't have to. Really
good.
Feel
no,
bad
it's good.
For him.
It's okay.
We don't have to feel bad for Rudy.
I say that with all sarcasm.
So if it's not OKC, who is it for you?
I don't know.
Do you buy Cleveland at all? That's a 60-win basketball team. You buy them at all?
I really like Cleveland's team. Mm-hmm. I really do. I mean, they've got size in the front court. by adding DeAndre Hunter. They got, you know, to go with Okoro. They got size on, you know, they got wing size. The one thing you always have when you have a guy like Donovan Mitchell as your two guard, and then you have Garland, you don't have a big backcourt. But now you can, you got some guys you can now plug in, you know. Getting Hunter was big for them. Yeah. So, I mean, they can shoot. You know, Mobley has taken, like, you know, a huge step in his progression, obviously. You know, so, I mean, they can play. If you want to play with two bigs, they can play with two bigs. If you want to play small, they can play small. If you want to run, they can run. I mean, I like them. I like them in the East probably more than a lot of people do. Mm. I think, you know, it's going to be either them or Boston, probably one of the two. But if Cleveland wins the East, I would not be shocked. Mm. I mean, I think it's just in terms of confidence and how they got to feel. That game where they were down, what was it, like 23-2 or something crazy, and they come back and still beat Boston?
Yeah.
They got to – I mean, I think you have to take them very seriously. I mean, and Donovan's one of those guys who's probably looking for that big breakout moment in the postseason. He's had a lot of good – he's had some great regular seasons. He had the 60-win season in Utah. Then they got – you know, they got exposed when – they had Rudy Gobert had to leave the paint in the playoffs, you know. And I kept on saying during that series, just take him out. Like, where? Like, you're not – like, he's in there for defense, and he can't defend in this situation. It's not like you're getting 20 and 15. And you're not getting 25 points on the other end. Why are you leaving me out there to get exposed?
Right.
And, you know, Terrence Mann saved the day that day. Who does Terrence Mann play for now?
Who he played for? He got traded to Atlanta. Uh-huh. Yeah, because Bogey was the Bogey trade. Unless it was a 3-2.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, and that's a big pickup for the Clippers getting Bogey. Yeah. Him and Harden already trading white men can't jump pictures on Twitter.
Let me ask you, the Clippers are a good question for this too. A team that, you know, I've heard Jesse talk about, like, man, do I really want to? Do I think they're back or they can make some noise? What do you think about Indiana in the East and the Clippers in the West?
Yeah, I'll start with the Clippers. The question they'll forever have is, what's James Harden going to do after the first round of the playoffs?
Mm-hmm.
That's just going to be – he's got to show up. Mm-hmm. He's had – you know, for a player as good as he is, he's had too many bad, you know, just no-shows when it mattered the most in the postseason. And then the question always becomes, too, is that as the playoffs progress, how's Kawhi's knee going to hold up?
Yeah. Yeah, history says it's not. The difference is, unless it's catastrophic, he'll play through playoff.
Oh, yeah. People forget when they won that ring in Toronto,
right.
He was dragging that. That's
right.
Why Toronto had to win that game, but I think they would have been in trouble in another game because Kawhi was dragging that leg in that clinching game.
Yeah, that's right.
So, I mean, I don't question Kawhi's desire, but even if he's compromised, say they got to play the Lakers, say it ended up being 3-6, they're playing the Lakers, and you've got either LeBron, Reeves, or Luka, he's got a guard. If he's compromised, that's not that you know, when – and Luka was eating him and Paul George, you know, before this.
Right.
So, I mean, I just think probably their biggest advantage is Ty Lue. I mean, if he's got some players, you're not just going to run Ty Lue out the playoffs.
Right.
I mean, he's a hell of a coach. And then you look at Indiana, you know, our buddy Tyrese, you know, who the part-time heel, you know. You know, with them, I'm not looking at the numbers. Do they play defense yet?
A little bit more than you would think. I don't know where they rank.
I mean, every time I've seen
them. Well, they certainly did for 24 seconds last night.
Tell me about
it. Yeah, well, that can't really count that. I mean,
okay, that was not necessary.
Wow.
I mean, you're above 500. You're playing a struggling below 500 team. You could argue they shouldn't even been down by the way they were.
No.
I'm sorry, my bad.
No, I mean, you're not
disrespectful.
But he's not wrong.
No, that's,
it's not very,
I mean, you
it's
can
not,
say that was
wrong. It's not very respectful, but he's not wrong.
I mean, yeah, I didn't need to say that, but I was more shocked the Kings were up by that many.
Yeah, so were we.
then of course, I mean, this hell of a road trip for them. God.
Yeah. Yeah, 6-game road trip.
Yeah. And hopefully, Washington next.
Yeah, hopefully you can take
well, they can win that one.
Yeah,
fingers crossed, yeah. Jason. Fingers
well,
crossed.
Washington did beat the Nuggets twice.
They did.
I don't think Washington really wants to win games at this point. So,
you got any thoughts on your boy Mike Bibby being the new head coach of the Sac State Hornets?
I think it's good for Sac State. I think it obviously puts them back in the national conversation. I've heard about Sac State on major networks more times in the last 3 months than probably my entire life. I mean, whether it was the football coaching search, you know, even if someone had the wrong numbers out, the NIL, you know, Sac State's, you know, pushing themselves into the conversation beyond just, you know, Northern California. And I think, you know, Mike Bibby will have, because of, you know, his high school coaching days, which puts you in touch with AAU and all that.
Yeah.
He'll be able to get players because he has connections with, you know, with that scene. Mm-hmm. And in the NIL day, you know, you know, I think one thing between NIL and the fact that one thing that translates pretty well, no matter what level, if you're a high level point guard,
mm-hmm.
even if you're playing at a smaller school, that tends to translate to the NBA. And if you're a 6'1 point guard who's a shooter and maybe you're not on the Power 5, you know, radar, why not go play for Mike Bibby? I mean, I think between, like I said, the high school work he did and his you know, time in the NBA, that's a good look for Sac State, I think. And like I said last week, they're going to have the best weight program of any college basketball team probably ever.
That's for sure.
No one's going to push those guys around because Mike's going to be in there outlifting all of them.
Yeah. And then what's one of the things he talked about when you talk about like the NIL and recruiting and stuff like that. He's like, yeah, the money is a factor. But for some of these kids, you know, having an opportunity to play and then being able to get where I've been can be a factor as well. Like if school X is offering $2 million, but we've got $750,000 to offer. They may take the $750,000 because they'll have playing time, and all of a sudden you've got a connection as your head coach with a guy that has league ties. And yeah, I could see him leaning on that and being able to get guys because of those type of connections as well.
Yeah, and then you can, you know, imagine this as far as a staff. He, you know, yeah, he knows some people. Mm-hmm. And then even beyond mm-hmm. that, you look at what kind of look at the football model with like a Deion Sanders, where he may not have a guy on staff, but he can bring in Michael Irvin for a weekend.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he can bring in this guy. I mean, Bibby can bring in Chris Webber for part of training camp if he wants. And he can bring in Vlade. And then remember, he played in other teams. He can bring in someone from Miami, maybe.
Yep.
He can do different things like that as well, even though the guys aren't on his staff. So, I mean, I think it's a good move for them. And especially, I think, in this day and age of NIL, if you're not going to have that, you know, big-time experience, I mean, there's only so many John Calipari's out there.
Mm-hmm.
You got to have something that catches people's attention, you know, because, I mean, you know, when if money's equal, sometimes you got to figure out the tiebreaker. It just might be the coach and those connections,
mm-hmm.
which is crazy that we're talking about with money being equal. But hey, yeah, money was always a factor in college sports. Who are we kidding?
Yeah, they sent old boy the tractor. His dad wanted a tractor, and the tractor pulled up at the front door.
There it is.
You see, what was the joke? They said once Nick Saban wasn't the only one paying people, he got out the game. He's like, I can't do this now.
Said, once he got on 11 playing field, he had to get out.
I can't illegally hoard all the talent. Oh, never mind, I'm done, I'll do TV.
The idea that Nick Saban was the only one paying people is laughable.
Exactly.
They might have been paying more than everybody else, right. But still.
Jay, he was like, you know, he was near the top of the cap,
hey,
whereas other people were, you know, mid-level.
Hey, look, man, 20 seconds, we gotta get out of here, but 20... Yo, that was April Fool's. I'm just making sure. I know it was, but I want to make sure that was April Fool's with the field, right?
What?
You see that cow picture where they said they spray painted
red
it
or something?
No, it's yellow.
I have no idea. I haven't seen it, so I gotta go look.
Was it posted today?
I don't remember. I don't remember if I saw it last night or this morning. I don't know.
Hey, will you do something about this?
I said it's probably April 1st.
I got to talk to the professor at the place.
We've both been hyper-focused on the Dodgers. We've missed all this.
The professor is smart enough to not look at any of that stuff today.
It's his school. It's his higher education academy.
I don't want yellow grass. That just sounds really bad.
All right, Jay. First of all, I apologize for my co-host.
I was like, what are you talking about? Yellow grass.
We appreciate you as always, Jason. Thank you.
All right. Yeah. Now I got to go look at stuff so I can laugh too. All right. Go, remember, Kenny, go blue. 6-0.
I only go blue. I acknowledge it's Michigan. Settle down.
Whatever, y'all. Stay out of trouble. Then, gosh, y'all always doing something.
No, they are kind of wilding. But hey, we got to get that natty. We got to get back.
Okay.
Level playing field. Thanks, Jason.